tears and get in faith. See, you might feel like these are the worst times of your life. But I'm going to tell you something. You're in the right place. You're in the right time. You're in the right zone. You're in your domain. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're facing. God knows how you feel. God knows His future for you. And God knows that He's done give His plan to the Holy Spirit. And God knows if me and you listen that we will follow Him and we will not walk in darkness. We will not walk blinded to what's going on, but we will have the light of life shining in our life all the time. 2024 coming up is going to be a year of God's glory to those that are plugged in and stay activated in this. I mean, it's just going, God's glory is going to increase until the coming of Jesus. It don't appear what I'm going to be yet. And I tell the Lord that sometime. In my failures and shortcomings and when I feel like I'm inadequate. All of us have these emotions and feelings, praise God. But I tell the Lord, it don't appear yet what I'm going to be. But when He comes, I'm going to be like Him. You see, that'll stir you up inside by yourself. But I'm going to be talking about a life of sacrifice. A life of sacrifice. And I've put the word branded. You know, I had the word branded, you know, this morning. I changed it, you know, and because God was talking to me. You can go ahead, Beth, with it. God was talking to me about sacrifice, you know, and branded. But I thought about it this morning. I thought, Lord, you branded me. You know, you used all the life choices that I made and brought me to a low place in life. And then I called on you and you branded me. What that means to me is He sealed me. The Bible says you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. You've been sealed with that anointing that Monty was talking about this morning that destroys yokes and lifts burdens. That's why I can't smoke marijuana anymore and feel comfortable, because I've been branded. That's how come I tried to get away from the Lord and that good marijuana wouldn't get me high anymore. And I had to tell the Lord, I realized that it's because of the anointing in my life in Jesus. So I stood there and asked the Lord, Lord, would you please just let me go? He didn't want to let me go. And He backed off His presence and I was stoned. I done smoked two joints, man. You know, because I couldn't get stoned. I just thought the dude, I'd backslid, dude didn't want to go get it for me, and I told him, don't preach to me. I said, man, you either want to go buy me a quarter or not. I bought a quarter, and I gave him all of it but a couple of three joints, you know. But I stood there, and I was stoned, hallelujah. And I said, you know what? I went to bed that night, and all I could think about is I wasn't going to make it into heaven. See, you've been branded. Some people that ain't got Jesus, they get on trips and they see all kinds of things. They take trips and don't leave their living room. But us that's been branded, that's been born again, all we can think about is heaven. Well, we're stoned now. Come on, somebody, we've been branded. That anointing. And you know what, praise God, if you've been born again, they people in my life that was praying for me, praise God. And you know what, if you got anybody in your life and you ain't right with Jesus, you know, and they praying, you in trouble. Because you've been marked by the Holy Spirit. You're going to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. And you're going to give your heart to Jesus, and then you're going to be like us. You're going to be different. We're different, and I'm glad to be different this morning, ain't you? I've been branded, and I mean, you know, a life of sacrifice is not really that hard when you've been branded by the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, praise God. And I mean, 2024, I'm excited about 2024. God told me, he said, God's given me two messages for the watch night service coming up. You know, they're doing the watch night thing, some of them. He's going to preach at one church or another. He said, I've been under attack ever since. I said, I wanted to go, nobody knows. You ain't got to get two sermons to be under attack, baby. Praise God. I mean, you had to get up and go to church this morning. Some of you, I mean, you sacrificed this morning. You sacrificed how you felt this morning because there's somebody on the inside of you that you're going after. You might not even realize you're going after it. But Paul said, I follow after that I have been apprehended of. Hallelujah. See, a life of sacrifice, living a life of sacrifice, see, a sacrifice will never outweigh the benefits of the blessing that comes into our life when we sacrifice. Once we sacrifice to the many that are not sacrificing this morning, that are born again and they are suffering. They're suffering spiritual joy and peace and faith. They're faithless in their walk, trying to live life, trying to get life to work out. One thing after another goes wrong, hallelujah. But you know what? To us, it's just stepping stones higher into God's faithfulness. Why? Because we've not put our trust in a day of God. Jesus is alive forevermore, and His Word is alive, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12. That Word is living. It's alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says. Hallelujah. See, I've been branded by the Word of God. You've been branded. I'm going to tithe. I've done walked this thing out, praise God, somewhat in my life, hallelujah. You know, I mean, I've been a dollar giver, I've been a $100 giver, I've been a $1,000 giver, I've been a $5,000 giver, but I've not yet been a $10,000. Right? Come on, somebody. I've not yet gave $100,000. I've gave away a house, a home, and land. I've gave away cars. See, and you know what, praise God, once I first started sacrificing these things that my flesh for the Lord, when the Lord puts it on your heart, He's asking you for a sacrifice. I'm gonna tell you what sacrifice means. Sacrifice is the practice of offering something. Sacrifice is the practice. Somebody say practice. You know, we come on Sunday afternoon and we practice these songs that we do for you. And we've been practicing that one. That one's a new one. We've never did it publicly before. And we practice so we can present you something. See, but if we didn't come practice... See, sacrifice is practicing. It is putting it into action. Practice is the practice of offering. Sacrifice is the practice of offering something. One translation says that sacrifice is the offering of something that means something, that is valuable to you. See, everything in my life that I sacrifice that is valuable might not be valuable to you. So we are individuals, and God will lead us individually in every area of our life of sacrifice that He wants. And that sacrifice will bring forth blessing. You know, when you give your heart to Jesus, you denied your will. You laid down your will. You laid down your will. And you said, God, I want your will. You sacrificed your will. And because of that, look at the glory that came in. I mean, you got born again. You're not going to hell anymore. I mean, you got born again. I mean, born again. Hallelujah. When them angels come in the eastern skies, and Jesus comes to the eastern sky, and He sends those angels down here, glory to God, to receive us up. That's what you sacrificed your will for. You're getting out of here. Then you're going to live forever. But in the meantime, we can, and if some of us will. I'm going to say all this church, because I'm just going to do it by faith, all of you. And I know, praise the Lord, you know, that it's God's will. That you're going to experience, I'm going to experience more of heaven on earth before heaven even gets down here or to the earth. That's in Psalms, that you can experience heaven on earth. Jesus prayed it. He said, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? So we know that's God's will. God told me one time, he said, well, I was talking about spiritually. I said, both. I said, God knows I'm natural. He made Jesus natural. He put Jesus down here, a natural man, walked into power just like we do. We're walking in the same spirit that Jesus walked in. The Bible says that according to the working of his mighty power towards us, when he raised Jesus, that power's towards us. When he raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Hallelujah. Sacrifice is the practice of offering something. Give me that Matthew 16 before I go any further. I'm trying to get to the end of the sermon before I start it. I always like the fruit. You know, I mean, I just like the fruit, man. From that time forth began Jesus to say unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things. Somebody say suffer. Jesus. Suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now look, here Jesus is telling Peter and us, telling Peter, I'm going to go, and they're going to bind me up, they're going to beat me, they're going to lock me down, they're going to put me on the cross, they're going to crucify me. You know, but I'm coming back. And Peter's like, in his own understanding, I might have did it too. God forbid, Jesus. No, God, this can't happen. They loved him. But see, Jesus was demonstrating this sacrifice that is fixing to take place, that is going to bring a miracle, that is going to bring salvation to the world, that is going to bring what me and you sense and feel today inside, victory. I don't feel like even a Weston. I'm a Weston by birth, but that's really not my identity. My identity, I am born of the Spirit of God, and I've been blessed to be put in the Weston family home. But I'm more blessed because I'm rich. I'm not talking about I got billions of dollars. I'm rich. I mean, you are rich. No, I'm just poor. I'm poor. We was Westons. Or we was whatever your name. No, you became a new creation. You were born into royal blood. You were brought out of the kingdom of darkness and put over into a kingdom of power, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of promise, a kingdom of covenant. And he will not break covenant. He will not alter the thing that has went out of his mouth, Isaiah says. If he says you're blessed going in, blessed in Deuteronomy, he ain't changing his mind. If he says you're healed by Jesus' stripes, he ain't changing his mind. He said, this world will pass away, but my word will never pass away. He ain't changing his mind. He's not changing what's come out of his mouth. But anyhow, Jesus is telling Peter, and then he went on and told Peter. He went on and told him, whoever will save his life and lose it, whosoever will save his life will lose it. He's telling Peter, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose eternal life for y'all. He said, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. He's teaching Peter by example, sacrifice. He's fixing to use it. See, mine and your life, by example, by word, and by example, is teaching something. See, I remember, Johnny, after I got saved, before I got saved, we partied on the weekend, and if we were able, we went to the flea market on Sunday, the old top flea market. I miss it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed going to that flea market every Sunday, probably it's possible. But I remember how that felt when I could, I made up my mind, I'm sacrificing Hilltop Flea Market because I am going to the house of God. I knew that it was God's will for me to be faithful to the house of God. And you know what, praise God, there's many today, and I'm not judging and not knocking, but you know what, my son didn't ever grow up thinking that church was not important. See, my life of sacrificing my will just for Hilltop Flea Market brought an example to my son, and then he's got his kids. I don't know if he's ever been to Hilltop Flea Market, have you? You didn't go to church either, did you? He was on vacation, Johnny. I'm messing with him. Late out of church, go to Hilltop. But see, my life of sacrifice at that time, I wasn't thinking is going to be an example to my son and my family and all of that. I wasn't thinking that back then. I'm young. I'm 27 years old. I'm saved. And I know that God don't want me skipping church in here. He's talking about that anointing. He's talking about that Holy Spirit. Everybody that has him on the inside of them that he's allowing. They know. They know that they need to assemble. There's just something in us. The Bible said it's Christ in us. It's him working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That we have that in us. It's the Holy Spirit. And that causes, see, there's many today, sad to say, their kids will grow up and they will not have a lack of importance for the church of God because they had an example from their parents. But see, Jesus here, he's fixing to lay out an example. Give me the next one, Beth. Now, I'm going somewhere with all this. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father. No, that's not the one I want. What, that one? No. I thought I had another one. What was that we read? Matthew 16? Okay, give me Luke 14. The Luke 14. Yeah. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, this, I don't preach controversial messages. I don't care what this world thinks about this word. And we can't be taught by the world what we think about this word. Because this word right here, he says that if we continue in his word, so shall we be his disciples. And then we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Come on, somebody. This is not a word to condemn us. This is not. This means we put God first. I put Him first before my wife. I put Him first before my son. I put Him first before my grandkids. I put Him first. I put Him first before men. My mama, my daddy, my aunts, my uncle, my family, my brothers, my sisters, and all of that in here. The word hate right there don't mean, you know, that you hate anyone. We're supposed to love everyone. The Bible teaches us, right? But what that literally means is if we put our kids before the Lord. If my son wants to go off without Jesus, I'm not going to lose no sleep. I'm not going to sacrifice my church time to go make sure he makes it. I'm going to church. I got to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to put my son or my daughters or my grandkids before the Lord. We got to put him first. God first, family, then ministry. Keep it straight. It's not ministry. We don't put ministry before God. We put God's will first. God's will. It's God, it's family, and it's ministry. But I remember, you know, when I would have to choose, when Travis was trying to play me to get me against Mama, and I would have to realize, you know, you're not going to use witchcraft on me because now I'm putting you before God under the wife. See, I mean, these little bitty foxes comes in to spoil the vine. See, Teresa should not put me before God. If Teresa don't want to go to church, I'm going to church. I'm not going to put my mother, my wife, my children, my brother, my sister, or my own life before the will of God. See, now we got to hear these things so that we can be convinced in here by the Holy Spirit that every sacrifice that we make brings the glory of God on us. It's not to bind us, take away, you know, good times or whatever the case might be. No, it's not to do what, it's that we can enjoy everything that we do with all of them. Hallelujah. I remember when Travis is going to play football. Teresa put him in football, toughened him up. He's the only kid, you know. I mean, he didn't have nobody to fight with, wrestle around like his kids do right now. They're both getting tougher, hitting on one another and all that stuff. And I don't encourage that. You know, but she, Johnny, I mean, she gives him two or three Tylenol 30 minutes before he goes and practices so he won't get a headache when he gets banged up. You know. Well, one Wednesday they started having practice on Wednesday. So I told Teresa, I said, he's not going. She said, no, he's not going. Absolutely not going. We got church tonight. And if they don't care, I don't care. And so she gets in touch with the coach. You know, our son's not going to be in practice. And if you're going to make it mandatory on Wednesday practice, he won't never make it to the playoffs. Come on, somebody. We're not going to put football before Jesus, before church. Church is Jesus. Going to church is anointed of the Lord. You know, and even if he is going to be this big money-making NFL player one day, he needs Jesus all the way up for her. Right? He don't need to leave Jesus at practice in the third grade. And we don't need to be parents that encourages him to leave Jesus out of it. Right? So we made an example. Lucky God, he ain't playing football. People put their kids before Jesus and their children. I'm sure Beth and Travis has got this road to walk. Aubrey's 8 years old. I'm sure she's going to want a baton. You know? I'm sure Aiden's going to want in kickball or something, you know? And they're going to have to cross that bridge whether they're going to put Jesus first or their games. See, all of this is 10 years passes by. Right? 20 years goes by. And I'm not going to stand before the Lord and he say, well, you know, you let football. You know, you let cheerleading. You let your pontoon boat. You let your feeling oppressed why you didn't go to church. You didn't feel like going to church. You were tired. You put in your 30 hours, you know, and all of that stuff. I'm on somebody. We have church just 2 times a week. I mean, how many hours a week do we spend in church? Maximum, 4 hours. 4 or 5 hours, you know. But that's why church is not. I put it on Facebook last week, you know, about going to church. And then I summed it up. I said, church is not what does it in your life, but it is the surrender of mine and your will to the will of God. That's what does. Church does you good then. When you're surrendering your will to God's will, that's when you're doing it. That's when the anointing, that's when the connection of the assembling together means something. Why? Because it is a personal sacrifice that you are making to your Lord and Savior. That's picking up your cross. That's denying yourself. But we got to put God first. I remember, you know, when I couldn't set up on Saturday night, 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock gaming or whatever I was doing, because I got church on Sunday morning. And I go, because I did it a few times and I felt rotten at church, and halfway sleepy through Sunday school and didn't get nothing out of it. And it goes to making you wish you didn't even have to go to church anymore. So I told Teresa at 28 years old, we're not going out on Saturday night no more. We're not going out no more on Saturday night. If we go eat supper, we're going to be back home by 7. And then I'm going to be in bed by 9:30 or 10 because I got church tomorrow. And I didn't even have to preach then. I'm just going to church. See, now I'm not telling you to follow me. But see, I started having these things and convictions and convincing in my life that I needed to, and that is denying yourself. That is surrendering your will to God's will so that you're vibrant on Sunday morning. And then you get here, I mean, Zach could have come in, stayed up all night last night, playing games, whatever. You know, I mean, he's practicing to be our drummer and all of that stuff. And he could have come in just flopping around and everything, you know, and I'd be like, we can't use him this morning. I mean, let him are snoring on the back seat. Can't use nobody like that. Heart ain't engaged in it. You know? And so, but I remember the sacrifice of giving up Saturday night. Then God goes and God begins to say, I mean, people, some of my family members come into town and they're going to come over and they're going to visit everybody on Sunday. He said, father, mothers, children. Oh, man, you know, well, I mean, you got to understand, I ain't seen them in a long time. Well, tell them to bring their clothes, baby. Bring your Sunday best, and then we'll go to Cracker Barrel right after church. See, be bold. Be bold. I told my wife one time, I was reading in there in the book of Joseph, about Joseph, where he was sold into slavery and everything, and on that journey about 17 years later, come out, praise God, and had wisdom from the Lord, dreams from the Lord, and stored up 7 years. And then the famine came, but God, and then here come the ones, his family that sold him out, hallelujah, that was jealous and all of that stuff, you know. And I mean, I'm reading that, and inside I know that I'm gonna bless my family later. I'm so broke, I can't pay attention, Jackie, at that time. I mean, that Bible don't care where you are. That Bible don't look at you and say, oh, you're not it. I mean, you don't read that in the Holy Spirit. I can't quicken that to them. They're so jacked up on the floor up, they can't even go to church regular. No. He says, boom. And you're like, oh, God, hallelujah. Woo! Yeah, baby, I'm going to church more often. I'm telling you, I'm going to be a deliverer to my family one day, but God. I mean, it fires you up. It causes you to sacrifice. When that revelation comes to you, bless God, about going to church, you ain't making yourself go no more. Buddy, you coming against everything that's coming against you to go. I'm believing God for a revelation to you this morning. I believe I'm speaking this under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and y'all are not taking it to condemnation. It's not condemning you. I mean, your ears are perked up in the Spirit. I can see them in the Spirit. They're like, oh, yeah, I don't want to hear it, but come on. Come on. I don't want to hear it because it's getting me, but come on. It ain't getting you. It's leading you. It's taking you higher. Hallelujah. The Bible says you've already been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You just got to fly on up there and get in it. That's all. Hell wants you destroyed, but he can't do it. Hell can't destroy you. Satan can't destroy you. Satan wants to keep you blind to the fact of who you are so that you don't get on his head and put it under your feet and go just keep him there. I remember the sacrifice on Saturdays where I'd feel good to go to church. I don't regret it 18 years ago. The sacrifices I made for the Saturday night, going to bed early, not staying out, staying up late, you know, and all of that, not even doing nothing wrong. I quit going to the bars. When I got saved, I ain't got no need for the bars no more. I'm not going to the bars. I'm not going in that atmosphere to shoot pool anymore. I'm pretty good pool. I used to, you know, could hustle a little bit and win some money. I got taught by one of the best. My daddy was a hustler, and one of my brothers was a hustler. He'd drank a few beers, act like he's drunk, and they put up big money then. He's getting drunk now. You know, he wasn't drunk. He was a hustler. I mean, if he ever made a ball, he'd run the table. I've seen him fighting. But you know what? Praise God! I remember. I thought, oh man, I can't go to the Jiffy Stop no more. Oh man, that's where I hung out every time. You know, that's where we go. You know, and all of that. You know, and all of that. And I'm like, praise God! I don't care. Hallelujah! I'm following Jesus. I didn't commit suicide down there, but God, he brought my marriage back. Praise God, hallelujah. I've still got my marriage together. I'm getting to raise my son. He wasn't two then. He's 30, nearly 31 now, right? 31. Bess, she's older than him. He's just smack down, you know. She's older than he is. The oldest rules, that's what Aubrey says.
Oh, you ain't telling me nothing. You're only five. And I'm eight.
And he don't care. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know, I remember that. But you know what? The sacrifice that I made to do that did not really feel good at the moment. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade it in for the glory that's been revealed to me all these years in church. Hallelujah. Well, because my heart was engaged in the morning. Hallelujah. I remember when the Lord told me to sacrifice. He wanted me to go on the streets of Onion on Friday night. I mean, I just had got my increase, Johnny, at work, man. I went from $250 a week working 5.5 days a week. I'm making $445 a week, and I'm off on Saturdays. I started tithing. I remember the sacrifice of that. And I'm like, God, now me and Teresa can go out on Friday night. Now you want me to go on the streets on Friday night, man. And I don't go hang out on Saturday no more because I'm sacrificing. It seemed like my whole weekend I was having to give to God. I'm serious. It seemed like my whole weekend because Sunday wasn't an off day to me. I'm going to church. You got to set a clock. You got to get up early. If you're going to eat breakfast, you got to cook breakfast, you know. Well, I'm going to Jack's on Sunday morning. And I'm cooking breakfast. I've cooked breakfast for over 30 years. Every Sunday morning, man, I cook some good biscuits. I've learned how. you know. And so I says, okay, praise God. God, I thought, you know what? God's able to add grace to me. How many knows the Bible says that His grace can be multiplied to me and you? See, sickness and disease can't hang on me. I won't let it. I tell my body what to do. See, these sacrifices take you on up in that dominion that you already have over sickness and disease, over poverty, over oppression, over lack, over what all the powers of darkness. We've already been given this power. The anointing. And so, you know, the sacrifices that I made way outweighs the blessing, way outweighs the sacrifice. See, and that's what Jesus was telling. And then Jesus said here, He says to us, don't put nobody before me. Don't put your wife, don't put your husband, don't put your boyfriend, don't put your boyfriend, don't put your girlfriend, don't put your friends. Y'all in school, don't put your friends before the Lord. You talk about Jesus. And if them guys, y'all guys, y'all ever try it with any girl out there? I'm not going to get too graphic. You know, y'all ever try all that sex stuff? We going to believe God that the holy angels with flaming swords, you know, will just convict you to no end. You know. Cause we don't believe in sex outside of marriage. We don't believe you're a girl and all of a sudden you feel like you're a cat and you can get a box in school. We don't feel like if you feel like you're a dog, you know, you ought to have your own ride in there to act like a puppy. We don't believe in all. We believe God created you in the image and likeness of God. And we believe we're going to teach you the right way. We're not going to teach you that this society is right. It's jacked up from the floor up right now. I mean, evil's trying to run. God is being pushed out in that, but not our homes and not our life, and we ain't going to go with the flow. Give me the Romans 12, Beth, please. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the Lord pointed this out to me this morning. What is sacrifice? Sacrifice is giving up something valuable to you, to someone else, or to something. See, your life might seem valuable to you, and if you give it to God, you lose it. You don't get to go. I told my brothers before I got saved, they would go, man, Jesus loves you, man. I said, man, y'all keep your Jesus to yourself, man. I said, y'all can't have no sex no more out here. Okay, y'all mean, you know, you can't go to the bowling alley and get drunk. You know, y'all can't do nothing. All y'all can do is just tote your little holy Bible and y'all little brotherly love kisses y'all got going on. You know, man, you can't have no fun. That was my image of church before I got born again. See, your life, if your life is dear to you, you're going to lose the life that He wants to give you. But if you will lose your life, if you will lay your will down, so sacrifice, give what's valuable to you to the Lord, the blessing will way outweigh your sacrifice. You will see the fruit of your sacrifice. Present there means, you know, that I asked Beth and them because I'm a smart guy, I'm anointed. But sometimes I need an explanation of some, you know, words. And I'm looking and I present, I'm thinking, well, the kids presented a play up there, a Christmas play the other day. Present means they got ready all behind the scenes and they brought it out there and they're Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, they presented it to us, you know. And so I asked Beth and Samantha and what they thought, you know, give me y'all and Travis and Zach. And they all basically came to the same conclusion, bringing things to the light. That means every Sunday morning, At around 9 o'clock, my truck cranks up. And it's not headed to Hilltop. It's headed to church. I'm presenting, I have presented my body a living sacrifice in that area. It's a living sacrifice. You can see it. It's notable. Present yourself a living sacrifice. He didn't say be perfect. There ain't none of us perfect. If you went home with me, you might not come to church here because you'd be like, God, Mom, is this our pastor? Gosh, I can't believe he's thinking that way. I can't believe that he acted that way. Now y'all look shocked. If I went home with you, reckon I would be like, oh my God, they're church members where I go to church. Probably. But that's okay. God's okay with it. We're all in a process of getting to know Him and becoming more like Him as we do these sacrifices. These sacrifices are working us together. They're working us one with God, and they're working us one with each other, being knit together, fitly joined together in love. They're working us together, and we're going to be like Jesus when Jesus comes in every area. So y'all young teenagers, don't have sex outside of marriage. Don't be kissing those guys. Keep yourself to the Lord, because that kissing turns hormones on. If you don't know what hormones on, you got a phone, turn it on and Google it. Come on, somebody. The school's teaching them. Trying to pass out condoms and all that, man. Teaching them how to have safe sex instead of no sex. The church has got to teach no sex. And the parents, don't let your teenage boys and those girls be in the room by themselves. Have the door open. Have a camera, $29.95, that you can get off Amazon, that every time they move, bling. Travis, he's like, Beth just got home. And I'm like, man, we're in Huntsville. He called her the other day. He said, where have you been? She said, I hadn't been nowhere. He said, well, I guess it got to me 2 days later or something. For $29.99, you can be in that room. And they'll be like, hey, Mom. Hey. Hello. Yes, we see you. Y'all go right ahead. Tell your joke. It's okay. Come on, we can make fun of it in here, but let's do something about this stuff. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have an anointing. I'm smarter than the devil. You're smarter than the devil. You're smarter than your enemy. You're smarter. Hallelujah. And y'all boys, don't be trying to hit on them girls. Well, we love them. You don't even know what love is. Love Jesus first. Love Jesus first. Love Jesus first. Put Jesus first. Write him a letter instead of writing her a letter or him a letter. Come on, get in love with Jesus, then you will know how. Because you know what, young man? There will come a time when she wants to marry you. And you ain't got nothing but your daddy's car. She gonna want a house. She gonna want a refrigerator. She gonna want a stove. And she ain't gonna want work because God ain't anointed her to work. You're gonna have to go to work and believe God, young man. I told Travis before he got married, because I'm anointed to be a father, not a friend to my son. I'm not anointed to be your friend. The fathers are not anointed to. They don't need you as their friend. They got plenty of friends. They need us as fathers and mothers. You know, I'm not Travis's friend. I've never been his friend. He don't need me to be his friend. He needs me to be the leader of my family so that he can see how to lead his family. Don't forget what I was going to tell you. He's about to get married. Oh, I told him he's going to get married. I said, where y'all going to live? You're not going to live out here. We don't need a daughter. If we want a daughter, we'd have done adopted one. But God, we just don't need no more daughters, you know. And so I said, well, you got to get your house. And then Teresa's uncle, he said, he worked the water department down there. He said, well, you can borrow my trencher and run a water line out to his house. I said, that's not, he's not drinking my water. Washing clothes with my water and washing his cars with my water. I mean, he'd be out there watering everything coming from my house. Now, he gets his own water bill for $105. He's out there making sure the kids ain't getting naked and getting sprayed out there. Right? Y'all cut that water off, God, Lord! That water bill was $105. But if it was coming to my house, y'all would just play in the water. Come on, y'all have fun. But you know what I told him? I said, if you're going to marry her, you're going to have to get her a house. Where y'all going to live? Well, we're renting an apartment. That's the easy way out. I don't rent nothing. I said, in 10 years, you done paid $35,000 to them. Then they'll kick you out. That's D. She's a renter. No. She's a laid back when she lets them go for months and months. I guess, I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know, she's pretty strict. She's like Teresa. Hello, where's my money? Get out! You got to listen to it at 3 o'clock and I'm coming after you. She's a warrior. But you know, I told him, I said, hey, you know, and I told him, I said, he's not running no water out from my house. He can get his own water meter. Well, he got, you know, he went and I helped him find, and they started out in a little, and I'm going to get off of this because I'm talking about sacrifice. But anyways, y'all young men, you're going to marry, you think about life. You take on her life. You're telling her, you lay your life down for me, and I'm going to lay mine down for you. I'm going to give you a good life. I'm going to work. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to lead you to Jesus. I'm going to lead you in the ways of God. I'm going to serve God myself. I'm going to fast and pray, and I'm going to endeavor to hear from the Lord for this family, and I'm going to lead us in. That is the responsibility. So you better to stay single. It's a lot cheaper. Travis going to see a girl up yonder in Athens or somewhere up there and figured out that she was 35 minutes away and it wasn't worth the $5 worth of fuel.
Oh, no, I'm not going to see her. You forget that.
I mean, you go to mess with his $5? Come on, son. He's going to get married to Beth because it's way down there at Locust Fork. I mean, Locust Fork's 7 miles, right? He's getting tired of driving to Locust Fork, a straight mountain, to see Beth, so we're getting married. I told him, I said, enjoy the ride. Well, he come back in the first grocery bill, come to me, first grocery bill. God, Dad, them groceries are high. And I said, enjoy the ride. Now he's getting the fruit of what I was telling him. Hey, enjoy it, baby. He goes to griping about the kids. I'm like, who signed up for it? Tell him one time, he's lying about the kids. I said, man, they're that high. Come on, how much trouble can they give? Give me the last scripture, Beth. I'm done. Way past time here. I'm going to get it right quick. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, that or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, but he shall receive what? 100-fold now. In this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. See, now I said all of what I said to come down to this. You put God first, and he'll put everything you need in your life. Your sacrifices for the Lord, the blessing will be way greater than your sacrifice. No matter what it is, if it's hilltop or no sex outside of marriage, and mean no fornication, you know, no adultery. I mean, I told Teresa the other day, I said, you know what? I said, I committed adultery on you before I got saved. I said, but I've been faithful, baby, for 30 years. I said, Jesus has made me faithful for 30 years. I hadn't committed adultery in 30 years. She hadn't committed adultery. I know she hadn't. In 30 years, hallelujah. Both of us messed up before Jesus. So don't tell me about the muddy water behind you. Forget it. Cross the bridge. Cross the bridge. Burn the bridge. Let the past go and move forward in Jesus. Start sacrificing for Him, and those sacrifices will bring the blessing into your life. Let's bow our heads, Father. We just praise You.